you guys stand? There were walls between us. By the cross you came and broke it down. You broke it down. There were chains around us. By your grace we are no longer bound. No longer bound. You call me out of the grave. You call me into the light. You call my name and made my heart came alive. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Feel the darkness shaking. All the dead are coming back to life. Come back to life. Hear the song awaken. All creation singing, we're alive. Cause you're alive. You call me out of the grave. You call me into the light. You call my name and in my heart came alive. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. What a love we found. Death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, cause you're alive. And what a love we found, death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, cause you're alive. Your love is greater, your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Galaxies spinning a heavenly dance, oh God, all that you are, so overwhelming. And I hear the sound of your voice, all at once it's a gentle and thundering noise, oh God, all that you are, so overwhelming. Delight myself in you, captivated by your beauty. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed. Given free, forever you'll be my God. All that you've done, so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, captivated by you. I'm overwhelmed. You are beautiful, God, you are the most beautiful. You are wonderful, you are wonderful, oh God, there is no one more wonderful. You are wonderful, God, you are the most wonderful. You are glorious, you are glorious, oh God, there is no one more glorious. You are glorious, God, you are the most glorious. And I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed. Shame because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by you. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by you. And I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed.
I told you I'm going to give you all a flower to be able to give your mom, right? You guys ready? Okay, hold your hand out. I'm going to give you a flower. There's a flower. There's a flower. There's a flower. Don't eat them. There's a flower. There's a flower. Did you get it? Everybody gets a flower, right? Right. Shelby, can you help me hand out flowers here? Here. There's a whole bouquet right there. Yeah. Don't eat the flower though. Only turtles eat flowers. Right. Everybody get a flower yet? No. You didn't get one yet. There's one. There's one. Oh, you got three. Look at that. Oh. One more. Come on, give me a flower. Who didn't get a flower? Everybody got a flower?
Yeah.
You all got flowers?
Yep, I think so.
Got one more? Come on. You want to give a flower? No? Oh, okay. Well, how many of you guys gave your mom like a flower or a Mother's Day present or something this morning? What'd you give? So you hand knitted something and?
Not really. I hand sewn a paper, like backstitched paper.
Very cool. What'd you give?
I gave her a card that had money in it.
A card that had money. I like that. Did Dad give you money to put in the card?
No, I think it's
my birthday money.
Yeah, okay, everybody cry. They're awesome. What'd you get?
I gave my mom a present.
You gave a present? What'd you get?
I wanted
a flower.
Bear present.
A bear present? Yeah. What'd you get?
I gave my mom a flower and a few other things.
A flower and a few other things. Okay, cool. You gave them all some really cool stuff and some cool flowers that you got right now. I want to share with you a verse out of the Bible. This is what God says we need to do. Okay, so listen carefully, because it's God's word, and what God says to do, we got to do, right? So he says through Solomon, who was really smart, and he gathered all this stuff, and this guy, Lemuel, who also wrote some of this stuff. Well, we go to God's word for truth. Yeah, don't sneeze over your flower. Many daughters have nobly But you excel them all. Charm is beautiful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Now, you guys all gave your moms Mother's Day present because you like them. Do you like your moms?
I love your moms.
You love your moms?
Yeah.
Right. So we give cards, we give presents, we give all kinds of different things because we want to praise them. And you gave her flowers and magnets, and that's very cool. And we do that. Do you guys do it every day? Or you do it just once a day? Sometimes? Well, okay, so listen up, because I want to share with you guys about the flowers that you have in your hand. Do you know you all have flowers in your hand, right?
This is not flowers. This is a pine needle.
No, it's a seed. Your flowers... Your flowers came out of these packages. This is what they grow up to be like, right? And you know what the cool thing is? Look around right now. You guys all look different. Some a little bit more different than others. But you're all different. You're all special. Just like these flowers. This is what the seeds grow up to look like. Now, would you rather give your mom a flower seed and say, Mom, go put this in the ground and you get your Mother's Day gift next year? Would that work? Or would you rather give her one of these kinds of flowers?
No.
These. Why?
Because they're more beautiful.
Because they're more beautiful. I want you to hold your seed and look at your seed right now in your hand. Look at it. Do you know that God... Listen. Do you know that God made beauty in that seed? Inside that seed is everything that needs to be put together in order to be beautiful. God sees the seed as beautiful, but he also sees the flowers as beautiful. That's because God can see on the inside, and he sees the beauty on the inside. He just doesn't look like the beauty on the outside. Because you know what ends up happening to these flowers? You have to take care of them, right? So what do you put flowers in?
Water.
You got to put flowers in water because they need to be taken care of, right? I got some flowers yesterday that Pastor Gary really messed up. I got these flowers yesterday, and I thought, wow, these are really cool-looking flowers. But... how many of you guys would want to give your mom these?
No.
Why?
Because they're too ugly.
They're too ugly. Well, they used to be beautiful.
They look like they're just a giant monster.
Yeah. Do you know that inside this flower are seeds? Because God, listen up, God doesn't look on the outside, because beauty on the outside fades with time. God looks at the inside of the heart, and that's where God sees all the beauty. And that's what God sees. Now, on Mother's Day, you guys say, thank you, Mom, and you do all kinds of nice things, but what do the rest of the year?
Cuddle.
How many of you guys ever argue with your mom? How many of you guys have ever told your mom no?
-1 million.
Zero.
How many of you guys don't do what mom tells you to do?
Zero.
We all do. Okay. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to give your mom a flower every day. But it's not going to be...
I don't have a flower.
You do. It's not going to be this kind of flower. It's going to be the flower... that comes from inside you. It's going to be the, Mom, I love you. It's going to be the, yes, Mom. It's going to be the, thank you, Mom. It's going to be the doing nice things for Mom every day. Just like you can give your mom a flower on the outside, you can give her the beauty and the flower that comes from inside, because God made you that way. You've got all kinds of beauty and stuff that you can give on the inside. So are you guys ready to give Mom a flower?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. Miss Shelby and Megan, will you help us? We're going to give you some of these flowers, and if we run out, we have flowers up there.
I want the pink one.
You can keep the seed.
Yes, I want the white one.
You're going to get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. All right. You want that one?
That's no. Not a flower.
That's not a flower. All right. So when you get your flower, go ahead and head on back to your mom's and dad's. Once you get your flower, go ahead, your mom.
Flowers.
Thanks.
I'll give this.
Now this is good.
You don't have to give her branches.
And
what I want you to do when you give your mom the flowers. When you give your mom flowers, she's going to get another flower. Go ahead and grab it. When you also, mom can take another flower.
Huh? Can I keep?
Before I spoke a word, you were singing. So good to me. Before I took the breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Glory over. Chases me down, fights till I'm found. These the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Young foe, still your love for me. You have been so, so good to me. I felt nowhere, you paid it all for me. Amen. You have been so, so kind to me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. All it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, yeah. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't lie out, mountain you won't climb out, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't. Shadow you won't lie. still you give yourself away. Holy, overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Holy, chases me down, fights till I found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Holy, overwhelming, never-ending, breathless
made me white. My dirty rags are
washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flow red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. I am clean. I am clean. I am you make beautiful things out of us. digging up from this old ground. Out of chaos, life is being found in you.
Have you ever heard the phrase, beauty is in the eye of the beholder? Well, I wanted to learn a little bit more about that, so what do you think I did? Google it. You can Google just about everything. So as I Googled it, I found that it's been used since 3rd century AD, or BC, but it was first attributed to a woman named Margaret Wolfe Hunger for her book Molly Bawn in 1878. And when we take a look at beauty is in the eye of the beholder, it's really this concept that beauty is a subjective attribute. You can look at it, and it really is up to the individual who's beholding the beauty to try to determine whether something's beautiful or not, which leads us into a very difficult situation in our world, because beauty has become this elusive trait that so many people, especially women, pursue. Another phrase that you may have heard is, beauty is only skin deep. And again, thrown around a lot, Sir Thomas Overbury, in his poem, A Wife, written in 1613, said this, all carnal beauty of my wife is only skin deep. I'm thinking he probably got in trouble for that statement. But again, it shows us how superficial we as humans are in understanding what beauty is. And this morning is not necessarily a typical Mother's Day message, but it's a message about beauty and about women and finding your value, because in our world today, women are having a hard time finding their value because of what the world has done and the world system has done. Many women have body images, poor body images of themselves. They struggle with that. Dove campaign, Dove soap and this cosmetic industry launched a survey April 7th of 2015. It was called Choose Beautiful Campaign of 6,400 women from age 18 to 64 from five cities around the world: San Francisco, Shanghai, Delhi, London, and Sao Paulo. And the questions they asked them a series of questions about beauty. 80% of the women that were surveyed said that women have something to celebrate about beauty within themselves. So 80% of the women are saying, yeah, women should consider themselves, or they have something to celebrate within themselves about beauty. Then the question was asked, well, what about you? What do you find, or do you find any beauty in yourself? And 96% of those women said no. Now that's sad. When personally asked that question, do you find yourself to be beautiful? They said, 96% of them said, we would not use the word beautiful to describe ourselves. And in that, only 78% of, or not only that, but 78% of the women said that they don't feel completely confident in their own beauty. So we look at this, and we look at what's happening to our world. And as we take a look at Proverbs 31, and many times women will look at Proverbs 31 and say, Pastor Kerry, don't teach on Proverbs 31, because I'll never be that woman. Right? So we look at Proverbs 31, and we shy away from that, because what we do is comparison. Women will compare themselves to other women to try to find their value. And I'm here to tell you the fact that you should stop. Well, then, what do you do in finding your value? Where do you find your value? Because there's this crisis that's going on. And how do we find, especially for the women, how do they find their value? You find your value in God and how God has created you. We're going to be taking a look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 3 through 4, and as is our practice, we're going to stand, and as I read God's word, and we stand out of respect for God's word. So let's all stand. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, and we'll also be in Proverbs 30, but we read that earlier. 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4 says this, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding of the hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable quality of gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. God, I pray over the women that are in this room and that are hearing this message, that you would allow them to see their value in you, to remove the blinders of this world and the system of this world from their eyes, to not look at the external that is fading with time, but look at the internal where beauty was growing with time. Lord, that they would find their value in you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the first thing we got to understand is the value system. And the world value system is wrong. We say, well, yeah, we know it's wrong, but we live in the world and we push back. And it's hard for us not to adhere to a world value system when we're so saturated into that place. But first and foremost, understand that the world value system of beauty comes from a position of depravity. The world value system comes from a position of depravity. In other words, the world views beauty from a position of lust, a depraved kind of thinking, brokenness, this comparison that is horrible. And in this, we see that this outward beauty is deceptive. In Proverbs 31:30, we said it earlier as we read it to the kids, charm is deceitful and beauty is empty. But the world values this kind of charm and this beauty. They're always achieving. We're telling our little girls, become the Barbie doll and to do all of these things and have these perfections that are there. One of the things that the world says is that women should be flirtatious. Well, the problem with a flirtatious woman is they may attract seekers. They may attract the crowd. This outward charm brings people in, but the woman that finds her value and says that she's doing this based on the flirtatiousness, from a world's perspective, is rotten on the inside. Consider Delilah, the one who seduced Samson. There was no beauty there. Samson fell in love with her because of the outward beauty, but the inside was rotten to the core, and it ended up being his demise. And so lots of women will try to show this beauty, and they'll look for physical beauty. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22 says this, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. I want to show you what this looks like. There you have it. Gold rings in a pig's snout. Men, what do you think? Whoa, baby, right? You want to take her out on a date? So we look at this. And so, as Proverbs says, this ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. So we think about this whole concept of this outward flirtatiousness, this outward beauty, this putting on this stuff. Marriages that are based solely on beauty and solely on this outward attraction are in deep jeopardy. Because I guarantee you, you will not look the way you look right now forever. Right? Because beauty fades, much like a flower, and it's superficial. So the world says, put on outward adornments. Peter says, look at these women that are putting on outward adornments. He says, don't merely put on outward adornments. And all of these things. Don't focus merely on the outside as he opens this section. And literally, in context, he's speaking to wives who have gotten saved and their husbands are not saved. And he says, look it. In the first two verses, let your submission, let your gentle spirit be submissive to your unbelieving husband. Let your character be the attractive part, not the outward adornments that are there. He encourages these women not to focus only on the outward adornments. Now he says, do not at all focus on the outward adornments. In other words, don't let yourself go and say, well, you know, honey, this is as good as it gets. No, that's not what he's saying. But the concept is not to make that your priority. He's not making it this way by which you will attract this unbelieving spouse or show yourself to be approved in this. The word that's used for adornment is cosmos. It's used in a couple of different ways. One, it's used to talk about the cosmos or things that are set in order. It's also the root word by which we get the word cosmetic from. The idea of being able to put these things or put stuff in order. And I know many women have to put themselves in order before they go out of the house. And they will spend much time. And the guys are like going, honey, you look beautiful. No, I'm not. I still have to do this and this and this and this and this. And they have to put themselves in order. And so in Peter's day, they would do this. They would do this by the practice of, as the text says, plaiting their hair. They would have these expensive combs and different things. They would go after the big hair. The women would stack their hair, and they would braid their hair, and they would ordain their hair. And the bigger the hair, the better the prestige in the social climate. So I thought, well, they don't just do it in Roman times. We've got some pictures that show some different kinds of hair. There you go. That's big hair. How about that one? Would you want it? Now, there you go. They're like, oh. You know, she's got the little rose. What about that one? Guys, is that whoa, baby? No, baby. We look at that. Historian Juvenal states that women would load their hair with many levels of weaves in order to establish social status. The taller, the better. And in the same way, women would adorn themselves with extravagant jewelry. They would put the bling on. And so it was all about the bling. You guys know the bling, right? The big jewelry and all the different stuff for the dresses. Well, we've got some other pictures of women putting bling on. So here's a dress. And they walk these fast. Now, how practical is that, right? You imagine being a brand new mom with that. That ain't going to work. What about this one? People actually design this stuff. What about this one? Yeah, no. She looks like out of the Jetsons, and that's a TV show, kids. So we look at all. So we look at this. And they put on these dresses and they adorn themselves and they clothe. Now, clothes are good, right? Wouldn't you agree? Yes, please, use clothes. It's a good thing. But the overemphasis of clothing is not so good. And the purpose of clothing is to adorn the body. But you should adorn your body in such a way that it's not so loud or not so distracting that they can't see the Jesus in you. I'll say that again. Your apparel, how you present yourself, should never take away from the beauty that's within, which is the Jesus within you. It should always be done with modesty. Consider Adam and Eve, who clothed themselves with shame, and they grabbed a hold of some fig leaves. Now, fig leaves have got to be, they're not the brightest bulbs in the bunch. We've sinned, we've got to cover ourselves up, and we're going to grab the itchiest thing that we can find. And put it on our naked bodies. Not real bright. So God has to come in and he has to clothe them instead. And as I said earlier, your clothing should never hide the radiance of Christ flowing from you. Don't get your value by what you wear. By your hair, your makeup, the jewelry, the clothing, all of these things. And if you think that, and this is speaking to all women, but if you think that that's super important to the world around you or the men that are around you, then you're trying to please the wrong person. You should focus on pleasing God. Paul spoke to this worldly attitude in writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:9. He says, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braiding a hair, gold, pearls, or costly garments. Why? Because he's writing to Timothy, tell these young Christian women to push back against the worldly norms that's trying to set the structure for their life. Tell them, push back against that. If the world says this is the normal thing that you've got to do to be attractive, then understand the source that it's coming from. Because that is not what God has designed you to be. The inner beauty has been woven into your DNA as a new follower of Christ. And it's the glory of Jesus that you're being transformed into. And so we all need to take heed to our freedoms that we exercise. And not ever exercise our freedoms of apparel or dress or adornment at the cost of testimony. You can be doctrinally correct, but you can weaken your testimony by what you wear. And I'll say that again, and I'm not all about the fashion police because that's between you and God. But hear me clearly. You can be doctrinally correct, but you can weaken your testimony by how you appear. So be careful. Real beauty proceeds from within. Real beauty cannot be put on externally. But the woman of excellence is already precious in the sight of God. You cannot become more beautiful to God than you already are. So in God's view of beauty, in 1 Peter 3, 4a, he looks at the inward. He says, but let the hidden person of the heart, God looks to the hidden person. Do you realize that you're already created in God's image? God sees you in his image, imago Dei. You're created in the image of God. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day by his Spirit as you're being transformed into the image of Christ. Think about it. You cannot add to perfection, can you? Because God already sees you perfect. God's view is what matters. And you were created in a manner so that God can shine through you and through the beauty of Christ. The point of Peter's contrast is to grow from within that beauty so that when people see you, they glorify the God in heaven who's made you. It's the inner person. And we should expend, and you think about it, when we expend all our energy and time on the outward appearance, how much time are you spending on the inward transformation? Do they equate? You get up every morning and you do what you got to do and you paint the barn and you do all the different things that you got to do. But what about the inside? Are you expending that much energy and attention on the inside where God really sees the inner person and spending time in that fellowship with God? The focus of the adornment needs to be spiritual, not physical. It needs to be the inner character that's more important to God. When God looks at you, do you think he really is intent on seeing the outside of you? No. God sees the inside. And he says, that's my child whom I love. That's my child who I care about. It's that hidden inner beauty that's within that God sees. The personality of the godly woman, and I would say even the godly man. Peter describes this inner beauty. What does it look like? The text says that it's meek and mild of spirit. Well, in this day, a woman says, I'm not going to be very meek, and I'm not going to be very mild, because I'm going to get run over. There is no beauty in being meek or mild. Well, then you're calling Jesus ugly. Because that's exactly how Jesus is described. Jesus is described as being humble, meek, and a gentle spirit. That's the heart. That's the inside. Don't let the world define you, define meekness as weakness, and say that defines you, because it's not. If you're seeking to be transformed, you're seeking to be transformed into the image of Jesus, who was meek and who was of quiet spirit. God incarnate, clothed with humanity. What was on the inside? God incarnate, clothed with humanity, humility and meekness and gentleness. If you seek to get your value from people and the world on the outside, you will never find peace. If you seek to get your value from anything or any person other than God, you will never, ever, ever find your value. There's only one person that gives you value. And that's God your Father. And the woman of excellence is precious already precious in the sight of God. Peter goes on in verse 4, not only speaking of this meek and quiet spirit, but he says that this is precious in the sight of God. It's an unfading inner beauty. Both in Proverbs 31:30 and here in Peter, it talks about the praise that comes from that inner beauty coming out. God's opinion is find your beauty there. Find that value there where God has made you. God has uniquely made you to be who you are. And in Proverbs, it says that the woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. The woman that is in relationship with God. In the beginning of Proverbs, it's the woman of excellence that fears the Lord. You nurture that inner relationship with God, and the beauty of God will shine through you. And God will praise you and honor you. And this is an imperishable beauty that continues on. You want to know something amazing about this kind of beauty? This is an imperishable beauty that grows with time. You first come to Christ, and he plants that seed of faith, begins the transformational work. And as you spend time with Christ, you grow. And that inner beauty grows more and more and more with time. Outward beauty fades away. But inner beauty continues to grow. We have some seasoned saints in this room that are gorgeous, amazing. You look at them and say, man, the inside of you shines out, and the beauty that shines out of you is just phenomenal. And the world would say, well, they're old, they're crippled, they're gray. How do you see beauty in them? We look through God's eyes. We allow that glory to shine through. And we look at that. And the great value that's there. It's an imperishable beauty that is precious in the sight of God. And that's what God values. God honors that woman that fears the Lord with deep reverence. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 22:4. This is your reward. Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and what? Life. Life. It's a life that never fades. It's a life that transitions into eternity. A second reward not only is the praises of God, but the praises of the people that are around you, your children, your family. Being transformed into the image of Christ brings honor and respect from all those that are around you. That's the beauty that doesn't fade. Proverbs 31:28-29 says this, and we read it earlier. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also and praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but what does the text say? You excel them all. That's beauty. That's honor. That's praise. It's been said that excellence is not a destination. It's a continuing process of transformation of what God wants you to be. You haven't arrived, but a woman of excellence is continually being transformed to the image of Christ. The excellence that is adorned by Christ, flowing from within, without. Understand your value. Understand your worth. That God has given you great worth and great value. Women, because he calls you a daughter of the King. I want to share with you a video that will speak a little bit more on that. It's precious in the sight of God. Don't forget. God, I thank you for all that you bless us with. Thank you for these that are here to know that you have power in the creation of both man and woman. Yeah, there are so many women that seek to have their value determined by the world. I would pray that each woman here would have a great desire to become a woman of unfading beauty because they're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that beauty would shine out into a very dark world, that our young girls would never believe the lies of the world or the lies of Satan, but only the truth of your word. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and worship in response to what God's doing in our hearts.
I'm no longer a slave.
disappear. For I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. For I am a child of God. For I am a child.
God, we thank you that we can stand in this world as your children, that you saw from eternity past our value, that you have reached out, called us to be your kids. And God, you're doing that inner work of transforming us. Lord, I would pray for anyone here today that feels less than, that feels incomplete, that feels like they have no value. Lord, may they realize that that's a lie from the pit of hell. And then may they stand firm, knowing that you love them unconditionally because you've made them perfect. That perfection comes from surrendering their life over to you and saying, God, will you be my dad? Will you forgive me of all my sin? I want to be your child. I want to be changed. I want to be like you. So God, I thank you for our time this morning. We thank you for moms and for women and for the blessings of the creations that you've given to us all around us. And if you give us another week, may we share that love, not just within our family, but with the world around us that needs to know it. May everything that we do be Christ-honoring, and most importantly, make you smile. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. Have a blessed Mother's Day.
Thanks for joining us in the study of God's Word with Pastor Kerry Wacker. We'd love to have you join us in person for worship each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. We also meet Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Warren Community Fellowship is located at 56523 Columbia River Highway in Warren, Oregon, between Scappoose and St. Helens. For more information about Warren Community Fellowship or about WCF Ministries, call us at 503-397-4387. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.